Okay, today is Sunday, March 22nd, 2015, and here we are in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, our last Shayur before Pesach, and actually our last Shayur before Rosh Chodesh Iyar, because school picks up again on Tuesday after Pesach, so my Shurim first pick up again this Sunday, Monday afterwards, the few weeks that are left in the year, Rafi. The Rebbe had dreams of teaching so much, and we wind up teaching so little. But that's what life is about, that a Rebbe can only give you a derech how to learn, how to study, what to do. And you have to take it further. It's like I say all the time, when I got smicha, I knew nothing. But I knew what I didn't know, and I knew how to start learning and what to do. That I still know nothing is a different story, but at least no one can accuse me of not trying. Now, we're here in the middle of a Reuven, and I have to tell you with Melbourne, what I've quoted, very fascinating material comes into me from people who lived it, and I just want to quote, this is from Rabbi Krinsky, Rabbi Heschel Krinsky. That's a nephew, I believe, to the famous Rabbi Krinsky of the Rebbe's Gabbai. And he says, and this is fascinating, because we spoke about Melbourne, and we spoke about the fact that the Lubavitcher Rebbe was opposed to a Rivim, do it secretly, don't let anyone know. And yet in Melbourne today, there's an Erev, and many Lubavitchers carry. Most people only know about the first answer that Rav Groner received from the Rebbe, which was very much against helping to build the Erev. There was a second answer to have Rav Groner later on. After the Erev was built, Rav Groner asked the Rebbe, what should be Chabad's policy now that it's been built and many Jews are using it? And the Rebbe answered, talk it over with the other Rabbanim al-Atah on the spot. And if you understand what the Rebbe's answering, it's exactly what I've spoken about for so many years already with the Shach and the Quintris and Gemara, open Gemaras. Funk chazei ma amad davar. Go out and see what the people are doing. And when it comes to halacha, what the people are doing plays a very, very major role in determining halacha. And it's very fascinating because no one talks about the second answer that Rebbe gave, but the Rebbe says, talk it over with the other Rabbanim. So this will explain Chabad, and this explains everything that we're talking about, and this explains Rabbi Groner's hesitancy. Never, he got the first answer from the Rebbe, don't build an Erev. And then the Erev exists, and people are carrying. Now, we also mentioned, I quoted someone blogged in with Chabad, with Brooklyn. It is true that the Erev here in Melbourne has been up for over 15 years, checked every week, and has never once been found to be pasul. So I met Rav Tzvia, someone who was visited here a few weeks ago, months already, who's on the Erev committee in Melbourne, wrote to me, it is true that the Erev near Melbourne has never been down in any Shabbat for 17 years. The Erev is checked every Thursday. And approximately 1 week in four is found to be Pasul or Suffolk Pasul and subsequently repaired. It becomes Pasul for many reasons. I participated in one of the Erev inspections and saw it with my own eyes. The weekly inspections are a necessary part of making sure the Erev is functioning on Shabbat. So it's very fascinating. On one hand, the blogger says, 15 years, the Erev was never a puzzle. Yeah, but you got to check it on Thursday. Once 25% of the time, you find the problem. And you see, Yomo found that the pole, how that pole was missing to create no shaila, that the electric wire should go directly over the lechi. But you have to check. Also, I want to just mention, I mentioned in class that the wire website lacks, so Ralph writes to me, I respectfully disagree with you. I was a lonely browser for interesting shurim before I stumbled upon YU and haven't found anything better. The reason I love YU is that there are shurim for those students who already have some background on a topic. The other websites seem to be all for beginner levels. As to the fact that there is no video on YU, that is a maila, not a chisaron. It means that you can listen to Sherman in the car and at bed at night. I just want to add what my problem with YU is, all my 1,000+ shayurim are jumbled, tumbled together. If they would hire someone to take the time, organize it. In other words, Sunday is halacha, Monday is makshava or history. Organize it. 2 years were spent for the sake of argument on Yantav Sheni Shol Galot, etc., etc. Index it to a certain degree. People keep on bothering me. We heard you said this, they heard you said that. Where did you say it? Where can I find it? No, what can I do? I give the shear and then and it rolls from that point on. There's not much I can do.
It's now, just all done by time, one date? That's how you're sure more organized?
Yeah, just the date and the topic. The topic that I give it, or Yomo corrects me if I didn't cover what I want to. He's smart enough to know he has to move it sideways.
Didn't
now,
take your job yet?
Halavai.
Well, I mean, sit down with you and figure out the years when you gave everything and make an outline.
I need someone. I'm busy preparing. You don't know what I'm involved with. I sent Yomo to find a Kedushat HaLevi. Right, so the name of the Sefer. What's the Sefer? Kedushat Levi. Reb Levi, it's going to be bitchy. We can't find it. I know what the Kedushat Levi is saying, but it's cited from an edition that we don't have. And I when I cite something, I like to cite it direct that I saw with my own eyes. I'll come to it later, but I was scientifically trained. Scientifically trained is Meretnishten Welterein. Rafi, you know what that means? Meretnishten Welterein. Go and try to explain that to him. You can't talk off the top of your head. Right, you follow me? When you talk, you got to talk statistics properly, source, you understand? All right, it's not an Israeli election with the commentators blowing left, right, everywhere. They're having a field day on the radio today. You can laugh and cry, but this is democracy at work. Now, last week's shiur was very important, and Rav Schwab, and I have to say, you have no idea how much I personally suffer, because what Rabbi Schwab claims, and with justice, is that people will accuse the rabbinate, and let me quote Blue Greenberg, and I totally, totally disagree with her, but what she said, hundreds and hundreds of my students believe, thousands of Orthodox Jews, if there's a rabbinic will, there is a halachic way. When you say that, it means you are saying the Torah system is not divine. Plain and simple. Yitzchak, please, don't argue with me when I'm right. When I'm wrong, you can argue. But with Blue Greenberg saying that, and then this is what Rabbi Schwab is saying. They'll say, now the rabbi is wilden Erev. You know, there's a lot of lumdus involved. We'll come to it later today. I'll show you something interesting, fascinating. But it's a halachic system. The Rav said this time and again, when you read the Rav's critique of Rabbi Rachman, the right wing went crazy with joy. They called they published it here in Matzah stuff under the title, the Rav, Rabbi Soloveitchik declares his Talmud a Mamza. That was their, that's the way they published it with glee. And in this world, let the Rabbi Shlomo do the punishments. We just have to speak truth.
About the Rav, I was to a bris on Friday. The cousin's son goes to the Brisk Yeshiva.
Fine.
So I said, his name is Soloveitchik. Any relation?
Of course, the Rav's cousin.
Yeah, so they gave me a dirty look.
Okay, Beseda, you don't have to lose sleep over dirty looks in life. Someone just asked me to send him a copy of the article that the critic tears me apart in the army. I wrote back, do you think I save an article? I mean, it's shtuyat, all right. When Rakefet is negative, then I'm going to have to do tshuva.
Okay,
believe me, I suffer that Agudat Yisrael didn't get it. They could have had 8 seats. You don't know, in this election, we wasted 150,000 votes of Shomer Shabbos from Jews. 117,000 were lost at Shas. Among them, my grandchildren voted. They're not Shas. Yishai, my grandchildren lost their votes. They're very upset. And I have Talmidim who asked me, Rebbe, I, what are you voting? I said, I'm voting Bennett. I think I want to vote. I say, and I explain to them, I don't have time. I explain to them what the Machlokes is. You vote Yishai. I never dreamt he wouldn't come in. So he lost 117,000 there. And I don't want to mention the name of the person in Shari Chesed. It's just frightening. He went against all the Gedolei Yisrael. No one should vote. There were signs up all over Shari Chesed. So Agudat Yisrael lost about 30,000 votes. Now you'll say... excuse me?
You know that it worked?
Yeah, what are you talking about? They didn't vote. You went in Shari Chesed. Ask Morty Tarikin tomorrow what went on there. My grandchildren brought me signs that were up, also in Harnov. What are you talking about? The man has a following. It hurts. So people asked me, what are you upset about? I said, because I'm a Torah Jew. I have my point of view, but you know, there are other points of view. I'm the happiest guy. Agudat Yisrael should have 8 seats. Mafal should have 8 seats, 20 seats. Who wants to be the Sar
Hap?
Relax. Yitzchak, relax yourself. Let's stay here. So you see, if you say if there's a rabbinic way, there's a halachic solution, then what is halacha? It's you're conservative. You're now coming. You're not even right wing conservative as I grew up, as I saw in my youth. You are centrist conservative, and today there is no right wing conservative. And the New York Times, when they accepted homosexuals into the rabbinic school, so the New York Times interviewed students. So they said to a student, "But isn't it an explicit sentence in the Pentateuch?" And the student answers, I quote, "We've changed other things in the Torah. We can change this too," quote, end quote. So look, Rabbi Schwab, what's fascinating is when all is said and done, he agrees with the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And if you're going to build an Erev in New York, build an Erev, build it quietly, be maskir reshut, take care of the pritzot, put up the... The artificial doors, or the what would be the word, or the give me a good word, the allegorical doors, in other words, the party, well, you know, that has to look like a petach, has to look like a door, or the fictional doors, tzuret petach. I don't know what would be the best way to translate into English. Do it all, but don't tell anyone. All right, it's a very fascinating a tshuva article by Rav Shimon Schwab. I don't think it's true today, 50-plus years later. It's not true in the sense we're a different world today. We're a more learned world. There are hundreds of thousands. There are probably, I wouldn't say less in America than 750,000 Shomer Shabbos Jews. You got to remember, Satmar, when all is said and done, is very powerful. Whether they're good Jews or not good Jews, I stick by Rakefet's position in his tremendous debate with Rabbi Shalom Gold. They're the best reservoir of Jews that we turn into really good Jews. We can really inspire them and bring them totally home. Yitzchak, the person in the Rosh Yeshiva in Shari Chesed, had nothing to do with Satmar. These were Litvisha who didn't vote. Among them, children and grandchildren of YU graduates who declare him, you know, when you go with Das Teira, he's the Gadol Hadar, he is the Das Teira, no one in Bnei Brak counts, etc. Please, gentlemen, please, don't get excited. This is Israel. You owe the government, Herbie, you owe the government 20% more on your taxes for the entertainment you have had in this election. So don't forget it. I am 20% more. Now, let me go a step further. in Flatbush, there is a very interesting community not far from where this terrible tragedy took place. And Vic Snow's family is part of this community. And the way I described the community, I got to know them, Rafi and Rafi, the way I would describe it, these are people who are learned, who are pious, and are very integrated in the Western world. They put out a journal called Hakira. Hakira, it rivals tradition. It rivals the Torah Mada journal, which comes out sporadically. Hakira is on a wonderful level. I've seen articles there filled with Lamdanit, and you have other articles filled with Western scientific insight in the service of Torah. There was one article there about literature that I told the editor, I told the people putting it out, that that article should be made available. See, Rabbi Lichtenstein is not active anymore, but it should be made available to every Torah Jew studying literature on a collegiate level. I think they geared it for high school kids, but I would say it's not just high school, college kids as well. Now, in Hakira, summer of 2006, there's a beautiful article by Usher Ben Sion Buchman on King Solomon's Takana, Rambam's Erev. And you'll see the first topic they're dealing with, the paradoxical Chazon Ish. Well, it's what I said at the end of the shiur. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago? I've repeated it in private conversation, and no one can crawl out of it. Everyone says it captures the problem, the insoluble problem, because if you go like the Chazon Ish, there's no place easier to build an Erev than Eastern Parkway. Even better than Ocean Parkway, because Ocean Parkway, the homes generally are low, two stories, three stories. Eastern Parkway, apartment building after apartment building. It's like a cavern, like you're in a cave, and for blocks and blocks, you're totally fenced in. If you go like Reb Moshe, he couldn't comprehend the Chazon Ish. This is Reb Moshe speaking, not me. I gave you the source. He couldn't. I understand that feeling. You fellas don't understand what I'm saying. You have to be a Litvak to understand this. I grew up on the Rav's feet. I grew up in Reb Moshe's tshuva. They're not like Rav Ovadia. They're not Bekiyot. They're not Achronim. They're not dealing with this viewpoint and that viewpoint. Zeh haben a degang. They have a way to go, a daher. A certain feeling, and they will paskin on the basis of that feeling, and nothing will change them. It's like the Rav's famous story with his Zaydas. Again, I can't go into all the detail, it would take an hour, but Reb Chaim held that Kriyat HaTorah is every individual is chayiv in Kriyat HaTorah, that it, yes, the kiyum goes through a minion, but you have to seek out the minion. No, the open mishnayot that seemed to indicate the opposite. So Elia Prujana, the Rav Zayda Mitzad, his mother, and Reb Chaim, his Zayda Mitzad, his father, discussed the topic, and Reb Elia said about Reb Chaim, you can't convince him, because no matter what source you will show him, with his iron words, he will turn it into support for his viewpoint. And that's your Reb Moshe, that's the Rav, that's the Litvakin, that's the way they paskin. And it's a legitimate approach. I mean, you can understand that approach. It's not Rav Avadya's approach. Excuse me?
It can lead to a lot of
machloket. Well, machloket, unfortunately, the first mission is filled with machloket. Three different viewpoints. You follow me, Alex?
Okay, no, so, I don't just mean differences of view.
No, it's lively. Reb Moshe, you understand, 600, Eastern Parkway, 600,000 people, cars flying by, count it all. How can you build an Eber? Shut the Rav, you're right there. All right. Anyway, this article is very fascinating, and it's in English, and it discusses many of the challenges and the viewpoints that we discussed. At the end, he goes in, the author, Rabbi Buchman, am I correct? Rabbi Buchman, yes. That at the end, he goes in to philosophy, theology behind the Erev. And here he says, why? He quotes the Gemara again. He comes back to the Gemara of Shlomo HaMelech, the Gemara in Eruvim, Daf Chafalef Amid Bet. And the whole concept of Erev, on one hand, is to stress the halachat of Chotza'ah, what's permissible, what's not permissible. You see, it's an open Rambam, actually. And that's why they made this concept that you can't carry from a Reshit HaYachid to a Reshit HaYachid, because if you were to carry back and forth, even though it's permissible, you might think you can carry from Reshit HaYachid to Reshit HaRat, and that's why you have to make an Erev Chatzerot. So the Erev Chatzerot serves one purpose, on one level, to get you to understand the laws of carrying, the laws of Shabbos, and what is involved in Erev Chatzerot, and why you have to do it. It's a gezerah, and you shouldn't carry from one reshit to another, because chas v'chalil will carry from reshit to yachat to reshit to rabin. On the other hand, there's another raison d'etre behind an Erev, to make friends of Jews, to bring you together, to unite you. You look into Rashi on a ribbon that Chaf Aleph Amid Bet, Divrei Amatkil Shlomo Tikain, and Rashi uses the words that, what are you involved with? L'rishut HaYachid Chavero. That you have to know that your neighbor is your friend. And this is part of the lesson that Erev has to teach you. Shlomo sought to impress upon the consciousness of his nation that the goal of bringing the Shekhinah to their midst would require the joint effort of the entire people. And he intended that the process of making an Erev would draw the people of a city together. You follow me? Chavero. So those who are now saying that an Erev in Flatbush will lead to the violation of the spirit of Shabbos, those who do not long to be me'urav, integrated, with the Jews of their city, have forgotten what the concept of Shabbos is. All right, it's a very powerful ending to the article, but there is truth to it. That all this machloket, and we said this before, others have said it, but here they give you quite a few sources. I'm not going to go into it now, but you can look in. I'll quote to you the Rambam, Hilchot Eruvin, Perek Aleph, Halacha Dalid. Look into that Rambam carefully, and you'll see that Erev, on one level, education, what carrying is about, distinction, learn. Look into Rashi, Chavero, we're united, we're together, we're me'urav. It's a national unity government of the Jewish people. Our backyards become one, the community becomes one, our Shabbat becomes one, our public thoroughfare becomes one. It's a beautiful concept. Again, I can't say with all the theology in the world, all the philosophy in the world, if you take Reb Moshe's viewpoint, then you can't have an Erev, period. But certainly those who are in favor of an Erev, there's a lot to be said for the concept it conveys to us. So I love that article. The learning is fabulous. But now let me come to the high point and the major point of today's share. Sam, yes?
Which parak?
The Rambam? Yeah. 1 second. You'll see the Nosei Kalim. You'll see the way they handle it. Perak Aleph, Halacha Dalet. I didn't say that. I didn't say Perak Aleph. Perak Aleph, Halacha Dalet. Gentlemen, I want to go one step further, and I want to move away from traditional sources and yeshivish sources and kailov sources and sources that Herbie Mintz mentioned. Herbie Mintz, I'm giving you the name Mintz, my apologies. Herbie, there's a reason why I said Mintz. Herbie Maltz mentioned the Brisky Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. Who did they learn by? There are many Brisk, Rabbi Shulam David, Rabbi Avram Yehoshua, Herbie. You don't.
Who was the Talmidim? They gave me a dirty look.
They gave me a side. I got worse. If you want to know what happened to me a number of years ago,
I told him I was going to his best student. And they said, so what?
So what? So I'll tell you what happened to me. You'll feel better when you hear this story. It was the start of the summer, and I had to leave for New York. I was under time pressure, but Moshe, Rabbi Meiselman, was sitting shiver for his mother, whom of course I knew, and she was very generous to me in the words she said to me over the years. So I felt I must...
Lou Gerber's aunt.
Right, so Shulamit Meiselman. So I felt I had to be Menachem Avil no matter what. So I get to Har Nof, and it was Menachem Avil, and we're talking, and he, you know, we go back a long way, and he asked his son, Moshe Meisman asked his son to walk me to the elevator and show me how to go out to be Malava me. Very nice. As I'm walking out, this tall, good-looking brisker is walking in with a student on either side, and I, wow. Remind me of the Rub describing something he heard from a shamis who heard it from a chazan who yet saw the Vilna Gaon. And I asked the students who were accompanying him when he stepped in and they stepped back, I said, Mi ha-Rosh Yeshiva hazeh? And they didn't even respond to me. They looked at me like I'm dirt. And I repeated it again. I think I said it in Yiddish because I felt maybe they don't know Hebrew. And they did. They looked right through me like I don't exist. So I saw Moshe Meisman's son was upset. He said to me, you know, they're not friendly. Boy, I walked out. I thought to myself, this is Reb Chaim's Ur Einik. Like I found it afterwards. It was Reb Avraham Yehoshua walking in. These are his, what became of them? I don't want to go further, because if I go further, it'll be a critique, which I've seen in print already, but let it stand. So, Herbie, if they can do that to me and they can do that to you, we got to get Yitz to get his face slapped, and that will have a mezumen.
I figured I was going to tell you that.
Okay. Gentlemen, I'm holding a book that's extremely important, and this is the original printing, the original edition, the Ra'abad of Poskier by... Isidore Tversky. If you're not familiar with this volume, make believe you are, so that the ignorant pass for the wise. Now, what is so important about this volume? And here, let me clue you in. What is so important? With the advent of Haskalah, and I've lectured on this extensively, I'm just being very flippant and brief now, not to spend the whole next hour on it. When Haskalah came on the world, it opened the eyes of many Jews to what was going on in the big Western world. One of the results was that the Jews saw there's a different method of learning, of teaching, of scholarship, which developed into a science unto itself, which we popularly call by its original name Wissenschaft des Judentum, which translates into Hebrew a formal name, Chochmat Yisrael. In English, probably the best translation is scientific Jewish scholarship or the science of Jewish scholarship. Now, there's no question that this is a different approach than traditional learning. Is it from? Is it not from? It depends on the person. In other words, just as some reform rabbi can take traditional sources and reach a conclusion that homosexuals can have a kibbut on the Eilah on Yom Kippur, so people can take scientific method and prove anything they want. It depends on the individual. It is not ipso facto anti-religious or anti-frumkeit. Chas v'chalila, there were people who were involved in Chachmat Yisrael who were go'einim, tzaddikim, chasidei elyo. The Beit Medrash L'Rabbanim in Berlin, founded in 1873 by Rebbe Israel Hilde Saima, was Al Pi Chochmat Yisrael. All the classes taught there were scientific Jewish scholarship. I don't think there's any body of that organized, that ordained rabbis that had a smaller percentage of graduates who left the Torah fold. You understand? There are plenty of YU graduates, I don't have to mention names, that we suffer from until this very moment. There are plenty of Torah Vadas graduates, Chaim Berlin graduates, Lakewood graduates. Lakewood, we suffer on a different level. It could be Hartman, maybe the exception, but most Lakewood graduates go after the path, don't change Yiddishkeit, but they do other things that aren't exactly admirable, to put it mildly.
Shlomo Karlbach.
Shlomo Karlbach, I wouldn't say went off the path of Yiddishkeit. He was an interesting figure, an interesting personality, and to a certain degree, when you take a graduate of Hildesheimer, like all his father and all his uncles, and you take a Yekka and you send him to a Litvishi yeshiva like Lakewood, and he goes with the Lubavitcher Rebbe Hasidus, so you wind up a Shlomo Karlbach. Think about it. Now, Herbie, control yourself. Gentlemen, back here. One second. Back here. Now, Chochmat Yisrael, scientific Jewish scholarship, what do I mean by a different approach? Okay, so let me explain. When we study, and we'll talk about the Rabbad or the Ravid, whatever name you know him by, when we study the Rabbad, the Ravid, as I was raised, what are you interested in? His critique of the Rambam. How do we paskin? This is an unbelievable, endless question. How do we paskin? Moshe, am I right or wrong? The Ravid, he criticizes the Rambam. How does it influence the Shulchan Aruch? How does it influence the Nosei Kalim? That's what we're interested in, because we're interested in the Halacha. But you can be interested in the Ravid, all his writings and all his sources. Where did he live? Who were his rabbein? What did he do with his life? Who did he influence? What were his teachings about? Where was he innovative? Where did he differ with others? What was his school of thought? Was he involved with Kabbalah? You get involved with so much material about the Ravid. You with me, Avram? That it's not the Rav is not going to give a shiur on the Ravid and Kabbalah. The Rav is going to be shiur, the Ravid and the Rambam. But in Chochmat Yisrael, many extraneous matters capture your attention. Now,
what value is it for you?
Well, you tell me, what value is a volume on that, this volume running that I'll show you in a few minutes, and you'll see why I'm developing in this way. There's a reason why I'm talking about Professor Tversky now. But you can draw your own conclusion. What value? It's like studying the Lubavitcher Rebbe's history, his background. You take last Monday's class that I gave. I never gave a shiur that got more unbelievable response from all over the world. I was walking Shabbos with my grandson, and never my grandchildren suffer, because I'm their Zaidi, I'm their Sabu, I'm their friend, I'm their grandfather. When they were little, I had one grandchild say to another, they whispered, "You know there's nothing that Sabu wouldn't buy us if we asked him to." And that was the greatest compliment they ever get. And as I'm walking with my grandson Friday night from coming from shul, he's walking me home, people are running over to me. I don't even know these people. They're hugging me, they're kissing me, and they're clearing me. I don't want to tell you who they think I am, and I'm not. God, they have it all wrong. I'm just a little kid from the Bronx. Believe me, Rafi, if you think you're a big kid from the Bronx, you are on the way to becoming a sinner. A little kid from the Bronx, Baruch Hashem. Humility, Adam. Humility. Then you are a free man. Anyway, coming back here. So you say, what's the value? There is a value. You ask me which is more... I realize, no, Alex, which is more important? Obviously, I'll tell you it's much more important to know the Machlokes, the Ravid and the Rambam, and to be, you know, you can deal with all of them and think the Ravid lived yesterday. You can be totally confused, you know, but if you're interested and want to broaden, let me use the word broaden, there's a world you can do. Now, in Europe, there were institutes that were devoted to Chachmat Yisrael and came out with tremendous achievement. We'll come back to Hildesheimer, give you a very simple example. Rabbi Dr. Azriel Hildesheimer himself, his epic making work, his magnum opus, was an edited edition of the Hilchot Gedolot. The edition we have today that we use was done by his grandson or great-grandson in Tel Aviv, in Israel. It's more up to date with Kitfei Yad, but it's based upon his grandfather's work. Now, you see, you have an edited edition. You say, what's the value? Well, when you open up an edited edition of the Ramban, of the Rashba, of the Ritba, when you're dancing for joy. When Yitz and I had to grow up and learn, we didn't have edited editions. When you open up the Encyclopedia Talmudica, you are benefiting from people who planned it like the Britannica Encyclopedia. Now, what I'm telling you, I heard directly from Rav Yehoshua Hutner, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, my neighbor. It was planned like the Britannica. Look at it, you understand? Now, you talk about edited editions, look at what's going on now with websites, with the Bar Ilan Tshuva, with the Bar Ilan website, it's unbelievable. So you see, Chochmat Yisrael has many different applications. A kid sitting in the base medrash in Brisk doesn't know what we're talking about. Elerint, the Rambam, the Ravid, but all right, we have to be Maidel HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there were those among us who got involved with Chochmat Yisrael. This is why Yitz and I will testify that the Rav only used Rav Chaim Chala's edition of the Sefer HaMitzvot of the Rambam. Because that edition, he knew Arabic, he edited texts. I remember, and you don't know this, but we lost 20% of our shiur time was lost. The Rebbe was sending a Yomo up the stairs to Gottesman Library, second floor. I think it's the high school library today. Whatever, safe, whatever. So one time Yomo runs up the stairs, it's 1957, and he brings him down a Sefer Mitzvah, the standard one. Name, nish, ich will not from Reb Chaim Chala, geh zurück and sagen, ich will not from Reb Chaim Chala. And Yom had to run up again and come down with Reb Chaim Chala. So see, this is Chachmat Yisrael. Now, in Germany, in Austria, in even in Hungary, a lot of good work was done in Europe. In America, yes, Dropsy College was opened. The first graduate was, as you know from my Monday class, was Rabbi Dr. Bernard Revel. He was the first graduate. He had a PhD, what was it, 1911, 1912. He dealt with Sadduceum halacha, Karaitic halacha, and traditional halacha. And this was the first institute in America that was dealing with Chochmat Yisrael. Dropsy today doesn't exist. It is the basis of the graduate school of the University of Pennsylvania for what they call it, Semitic studies or what, Judaic studies, whatever they call it. Now, JTS, which was formed as an Orthodox institution, also went on the path of Hildesheimer. And if you read the charter of JTS and the preamble going back to 1887, in consonance with the written law and the oral law and tradition, but they were different than a yeshiva. This was one of the stumbling points when they tried to merge the yeshiva and JTS in the mid-20s, which I spoke about in great detail a year or 2 years ago. One of the stumbling points was, and I think that could have been solved. That could have been solved. You know what I said. I absolutely feel that Mordechai Kaplan was the one stumbling block they couldn't solve. They couldn't fire him. He had too much support. And yet he was totally outside the pale of Torah Hashem. His belief, his non-belief, etc. The Judaism as a civilization, no God, etc. They would have solved, in my opinion, you could have kept the yeshiva in a yeshiva fashion, and post-college, you could have classes like Bernard Rebel Graduate School today. Now, when all was said and done, many doctorates were accomplished. But the first doctorate done in America that shook up the world and showed, you have no idea the impact it's left, because the Rab out of Poskiez is on a level of any work that could have been done 100 years ago, 150 years ago by the great scholars. It was major. It was a piece of work. Now, what does he have here? Contents, the life of the rabbi, put together from his writings, works, what he wrote, criticism of the Mishneh Torah, a whole chapter on what do we mean by Hasagat HaRa'abad, how do we view it, what are his sources, disciples and followers, relation to philosophy and Kabbalah, endless footnotes, and Isidore Tversky. He did this doctorate under the guidance of Professor Harry Wolfson. Harry Wolfson, he was one of the world-famous professors at Harvard University. He was a yeshiva boy in his youth. Moshe Wolfson was Bucky and Shas and Paiskim, Rishonim, etc. The man's knowledge was breathtaking. Beyond that, all of civilization, all of philosophy. I don't believe he ever married. You can check it out. They used to tell stories. We used to hear fabulous stories about Wolfson there, and they're probably true, that he would learn and write and teach and professor and write and books and edit. And then to cool off, he'd go to the movies. There were no TV yet. No, today you have the internet. I mean, I haven't watched TV. I don't know how many years since I was taught how to use a computer. I haven't watched TV. I get all my news in a minute flat off the computer, whatever I need to know, and even what I don't need to know. Rafi, he used to go to the movies. Everyone, there were movies then around the clock. He would go 10 o'clock at night. He would fall asleep. And the cleaning lady who would come in at 7 o'clock in the morning, she knew to wake up Professor Wolfson. They would never disturb him, let him sleep there all night. They knew who he was. And he was the professor under whom Isidore Tversky did his doctorate. Now, I just want to, just to drop on, if I mention Professor Tversky's name, let me do a chesed shalemet. I don't have to tell you he was the Rav's son-in-law. I don't have to tell you his son-in-law, his only son-in-law, is my Talmud, Rabbi Jonathan Rosenblatt, who studied right here in this kollel, a wonderful student. I need not tell you Lo Aleinu, his son was just murdered by Arab terrorists in Hanof, one of the four that were killed, Lo Aleinu. I knew two of them intimately, him and the Kupinski boy. I grew up with his grandfather. We were around the corner from each other, among the few Shomer Shabbos children in the entire Bronx. And I'm quoting from the obituary in the New York Times, October 16th, 1997. In the classrooms and lecture halls of Harvard, Dr. Tversky was a professor personified, a bearded man whose dark suits and dignified manner bespoke his role as a renowned authority on the 12th century Jewish philosopher Maimonides and other medieval thinkers. At home in suburban Brookline, and mind you, this is written by a guy, a Catholic, Robert McThomas Jr., at home in suburban Brookline and in congregation Beth David, the Beis HaMedrash, or study house as he called it, he was very inch the dynastic Talna Rebbe, the spiritual leader of a small Hasidic community, as his father had led a generation earlier, even as their Tversky ancestors had led congregations in Chernobyl, the entire Ukraine, for centuries. If simply being a Hasidic Rebbe in the 20th century America wasn't anomaly enough, Dr. Tversky made it his life's mission to transform the secular citadel of Harvard into a haven for observant Jews and a center of Jewish studies. It wasn't easy. Although there had been formal Jewish studies at Harvard since 1925, when Dr. Tversky's mentor, Harry A. Wolfson, became the first literary professor, Dr. Wolfson had been very much a one-man Jewish band on a campus, with Friday night faculty meetings, Saturday classes, and prevailing attitudes long made Harvard an unwelcoming place for practicing Orthodox Jews. For Dr. Tversky, a 1952 Harvard College graduate who began teaching immediately after receiving his doctorate in 56 and succeeding Dr. Wolfson in 65, the conflicts were always resolved in favor of his religious obligations. He has been widely credited with making Harvard a more comfortable and conforming place for observing Jews. And it goes on, describing what he did at Harvard, what he published, what his expertise was. That's his cousin. They're all interrelated. There was someone who sat in the shiur one time this year, visited David Tversky. He's a YU Musbach. He's also a cousin. It's the Tolna Rebbe's grandson from Philadelphia, and there's a new Tolna Rebbe in Israel today. But this was Professor Tversky. It was monumental. Now, why am I telling you all this? This volume showed it could be done. That even in America, you can have at general secular universities departments of postgraduate Jewish studies on a high level. And now in America, you have students for the first time. You have YU graduates, other yeshiva, Torah Vidas, Chaim Berlin, students interested who know how to learn and want to supplement, complement, broaden their learning by going into Chochmat Yisrael, and you now have the epic-making example. If there was a Professor Tversky, there can be many, many more. And hold on, just let me finish this sentence. Many brilliant doctorates have subsequently been accomplished, not just at Bernard Revel Graduate School, but at many universities, Harvard, Yale, Brown, NYU, you name it. And you have people who can guide, and people who can study, people who can learn. And I want to talk about a contemporary doctorate that is yet to be published, but is very, very fascinating. Yes, Yitzchak.
You mentioned in the last sentence that it depends on who is there.
Right.
If Wolfson would not have been there,
right, exactly,
Tversky wouldn't have had
able
to do it.
Right, and you have
to... Many men who could not write their doctorates because there was no one...
Knew what they were doing.
So we don't have that anything.
No, but you have today Schiffman at NYU. He left NYU. He's back at NYU.
Oh, really?
Yeah, didn't work. It evidently didn't work out. You have, absolutely, Bernard Revel, you have a top faculty. The problem with Bernard Revel is that for many years, only a few doctorates emerged because the standards were too high. You can't have standards for Malachim. Standards, a student has to be able to know he can get a master's, he can get a master's, he can get a doctorate. Not everyone is an Isidore Tversky, not everyone is a genius of geniuses. But you have today brilliant work being done at many universities. I agree with you, if you have a university where there's no one bucking Shas and Paiskim, how can you write about Shas and Paiskim? Absolutely. The professor has to know so he can guide you. Absolutely. This is why I always am very thankful to Dr. Agus, because when I took a theme for my MA, I have two masters, right? So my MA in Jewish history, the Rav had just spoken about the Kleves Get in the context of Shulchan Aruch, of Shechita, of Eitan Cholim, Eitan Shaitim, so on, who's like a schizophrenic. Is a Shechita Kesheira. And the Rav in class, Kaliach Hayat, said, he's given an interesting Maisa in Kleves, and he told the story. So now I needed someone to sponsor me. I needed someone. So I want to tell you, the one who should have sponsored me, who really taught responsible literature at Bernard Revel, was Professor Isaac Lewin, Yitzchak Lewin. You know what I'm talking about? Nat Lewin's father. But he was too busy, he couldn't take me on. He was principal of Central, you remember, Brooklyn Central. He was principal, he taught at Bernard Revel. And he was the Agudat Yisrael's representative to the UN. So I'm always thankful Dr. Agus, who is not an expert in response to literature of the acronym, but I'm dealing with Cleves' acronym. His expertise was the Maram Rutenberg, was the Rishonim, was Franco-Germany, but he took me on and sponsored my masters. You have to have someone who has facility. You're absolutely right. But this doctorate was beautiful. And it showed it could be done. I need not tell you it came out, I think, in two more editions. There was controversy afterwards. He was criticized, a whole review. Then someone came out with someone who I'm related to through marriage, Buchwald, came out with a critique of the person who critiqued the Professor Tversky. La'yehudim haitar ravis m'chavis hason. Nevertheless, what Professor Tversky did with this work, with his work on the Rambam, the magnificent one-volume work, the introduction to the Rambam, his selections from the Rambam, he published magnificent material, and above all, he was very close to the Rav. Of all the Rav's three children, Chaim was living here, the Tova was living here already, and it was Atara and Yitzchak who took the Rav in his old age, in his illness, and cared for him, and took care of him, and as all that he should be rewarded on high for all the good that he did. Gentlemen, a doctorate has recently been completed, 2011, under the guidance of Professor Lauren Schiffman at NYU. The doctorate is by YU Musmach, who has Yara Yara Yadin Yadin. At that time in the 70s, the yeshiva had a Yadin Yadin program, and Rabbi Dr. Adam Mintz. That's how I said the name Mintz before.
Oh, was he involved with the...
He was rabbi in he succeeded, he was two rabbis after Riskin. The Rabbi Berman succeeded Riskin, then there was Rabbi Weinberg, and then there was Rabbi Mintz at Lincoln Square Synagogue. He was there not a long time, a number of years, and then he was succeeded by, it's an English person there today. What's the name?
Robinson,
Rabbi Robinson, English. I think he's a Talmud of Rabbi Bravender and from Itri, from the Gush, or whatever. And not Itri, he's a Talmud, I think, of Rabbi Bravender when Rabbi Bravender was yet teaching with the yeshiva, if I'm not mistaken, in Efrat. It can all be checked out. And he, I understand, is successful. He's been there quite a few years already, and he caught on because Rabbi Riskin was a very hard act to follow. You have to understand that he was the first rabbi there, the only rabbi they knew, and Rabbi Riskin, the boy wonder as he was called, has magical ability, and he was a hard act to follow. But thank God the four rabbis removed, Rabbi Robinson has taken over. Now, this doctorate is very fascinating. It's fascinating, first of all, the halachic material is superb, and everything we've spoken about this last year and three quarters, you can find all the sources, basically, in Rabbi Mintz's doctorate. There's not much that I could add to it, although there were, you know, obviously there are sources that you uncover as time marches on, and there are sources that I uncovered that perhaps no one else saw until now. So on that level, it's fascinating. Then there is the historic level. You see this. This is where the Chochmat Yisrael comes in. It's not just presenting the sources, it's giving you the background, telling you about the communities, giving you the history, telling you who was involved. The thesis, and I understand it's available online, I have the thesis that was sent to me by Adam Mintz, by Rabbi Mintz, but it's available online. It's entitled Halacha in America, The History of Sidi Eruvin, 1894-1962. A dissertation submitted in partial fulfillment of the requirements for the degree of Doctor of Philosophy, and his professor cited on the title page, Professor Lawrence Schiffman. Table of contents, pre-rabbinic and rabbinic sources, post-Talmudic sources, a Eruvim in the early modern periods, the St. Louis Eruv, the east side of Manhattan Eruv, the Toronto Eruv, the Manhattan Eruv, conclusion, epilogue, bibliography. It's a volume, and he has pictures, illustrations, excuse me. The volume has never been published yet, but I'm told, where is it available? Where can you get what website? He has his own website and he makes it available. Very nice, very nice. Okay, so I want to begin citing what we didn't talk about until now in class, and citing from his doctorate, and I give him all the credit, okay? I'm now citing from page 169, where he talks about the background, and he talks about Yerushalayim. Rafi, do me a favor, don't let anyone leave. We have to have a minyan. It's the final time we can daven Marv, okay? We have more than a minyan right now staring at me, but don't let anyone leave. See that there's a minyan left.
I can't promise I can be here.
Avram, don't let him leave unless we have 10 without him. Got it?
Yeah.
Okay. Lead the minyan and don't lead, but not leave. Gentlemen, it's a chesed to those of us that are over 21 years of age, the Daila Chakima. But this is the last time. This Thursday night, gentlemen, the winter is over, the spring is over, the summer is upon us. And it's Amratzit the Oraita. It's Amratzit the Oraita, because the Seder is supposed to begin early, the kids are supposed to be awake, and here it's a Jewish country, un seichel. If I ran a political party, I would have a number of, one of my goals, I would say, anyone voting for this party, summertime comes in, if at all, after Pesach. After the Seder. My dear students, the Erev in Jerusalem, he gives us, the Jewish community began to expand, and by 1900, you have the first machloket in Yerushalayim. Now, this machloket is very interesting and leads to a topic we scratched the surface a year ago, but anyone looking for a PhD thesis, this can be turned into a PhD thesis. The first mention of Erev in the new communities of Jerusalem is found in the response of Rabbi Yaakov Shaul Eliashah, who became the Sfadik chief rabbi of the Jerusalem community in 1893. Eliashah is a very famous Sfadik name. It may be a direct descendant, is the head of the Sfadik Jewish organization in Israel. Now, Rabbi Eliashah, in a responsum from 1880, describes what's happening as the Jewish community, you know what I mean by expanse, they come out of the walls, they come out of the old city. You're coming to Me'er Sha'arim, Mekol Baruch, you're coming to Mishkanot Shananim. Those of you who study at Ben Tzvi Institute can take a course where they actually take you on tours and show you street by street how the original Jerusalem community expanded. And he describes that Rabbi Akiva Schlesinger, one of the leaders of the Ashkenazic community of Yerushalayim, has erected Tzurat HaPetach Erev in the new community of Eben Yisrael.
Was his grandson the head of Shalavim?
No. I'll tell you who he was in a second. This Schlesinger we've spoken about many times over the last generations. he was a Hungarian. He was a Talmud of the Chatam Sofer school. I think he was actually a Talmud of the Chatam Sofer himself. Therefore, he came from a background where an Arab is absolutely not only permissible, but to be encouraged. And if you don't believe in it, you're not bikaris, as I showed you from the Chatam Sofer's Tshuvat. Now, he was a contradictory individual. On one hand, very firm, totally opposed to anything that had to do with the nascent Zionism, which was just awakening, Beis Yaakov, Hilu, etc., etc. Totally opposed. On the other hand, very innovative, very individualistic. And when he made up his mind, nothing could stop him. And that's the famous example of he blew shofar in Yerushalayim when Rosh Hashanah fell on Shabbos. The Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. Beit Din in Yerushalayim, you can blow shofar. A central Beit Din, a focal Beit Din, Gedolei HaRabbanim, look at the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. He interpreted, it's not just in Yavna, not just isolated Yerushalayim, we can blow shofar. He blew. He was put into Cherem as a result. They were always Kanoim in Yerushalayim. It wasn't so simple. I don't know what happened recently. I also heard rumors that recently someone blew shofar again in Yerushalayim following his leadership. Now, he built the Arab. And Rabbi Al-Yashar was challenged by one of the Sfadik Rabbanim. You can get all the sources in the doctorate. Adam, one of the Sfadik Rabbanim who lived in Yerushalayim, challenged him, how can you build an Erev? How can you be samach on what an Ashkenazic Rav does? And it all goes back to the Shulchan Aruch. And here I quote again something I quoted a year plus ago, but I want to spend a little bit of time on it. Hilchat Shabbat, Siman Shin Mem Hei, Sif Zion. And what does the Shulchan Aruch say? Ezehu Reshut HaRabim, this is Rabbi Yosef Karo speaking. Rechavet Ushvakim HaRechavim Sheish Esrei Ama. V'yeinam Bekodim, V'yein Lachem Choma, V'afilu Yesh Lachem Choma. Im hayum fulashim meshal shar. And this is the first thing the Shulchan Aruch says. If you meet these requirements, you are a Reshut HaRabim d'oraita. What are the requirements? A street 16 amot wide. Well, most streets in Jerusalem are 16 amot wide. If we paskin this way, where do you have the right to build an Erev? Ein lechem, it shouldn't be covered. No, most streets are not covered. I don't know. I can walk through Givat Mordechai. I don't see any tent overhead. I can walk through Kvish Bazak. I don't see any tent overhead. I can walk through Gaza, Galamp, you name it. I can walk anywhere. Nothing that I see is covered. Maybe the Begin Highway, you can make a case, part of the Begin Highway is covered. Fine. They're now building more bridges. They're doing unbelievable construction. We should live to see it finished, Be'ezrat Hashem. Nevarech al ha-mugmar. Mufulashim mishal l'shah. And if it's wide open, this is a Reshut HaRabim. But then, Vic, the Shulchan Aruch rains upon us. Not snow, rain. V'yishon rim, she'ein shishim ribo ovrimbo b'chol yom, ein o Reshut HaRabim. That even if it's 16 amot wide, even if it doesn't have a tent overhead, even if it's not covered, even if it has all these other requirements, even if it's mafulash, but if 100,000 people don't walk there daily, it is not a Rishut HaRabin, and therefore you can build an Erev of Tzurat HaPetach. Well, Avram, am I right or wrong? Two different opinions in the Shulchan Aruch. Opinion one, opinion two. We don't have to go any further now. Adam, you're studying your Adaya, right? Who did I see upstairs? You study, I saw Dov, you were there too? Were you there upstairs? You hide in that hideaway and you're studying your Adaya? No, I'm coming along. You're now taking an oral bechinah. Thank God, Yitz and I got smicha right after the oral bechinahs were abolished. Anyone who took that oral bechinah, it takes 5 years off your life, right? They should do a survey. All right? And sitting here is not Rakafet. Sitting here is Mori Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik. Here's the Lamsha Rav. Here's Rav Shmuel Belkin. Rav Shmuel Belkin is there to help you. He's out to help you. But the Rav and the Lamsha Rav, no, they shoot at you. Avram, leader, Vipaskinin. Zvdar Machloikis. Zvdar Tzvei Deis. How do we Paskin? What do you do? Yitzchak, no?
There's a very important point to make.
Yeah.
If you walk in and the Rav looks at you and he says, what Gemara should I ask you questions on?
Right.
You can imagine what that means. Whatever Gemara you said, he knows it. And he'll tell you, enough this, tell me what Tosfos says.
Right.
What's the discussion? And that's scary.
Yitzchak, I said we have to bench Gano. We didn't go through it.
Oh, but
when Aaron Rubenstein marked everybody's papers,
right,
and it took 5-6 hours to write the paper.
Right. It took me from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Right, he did not pass people unless they deserved passing.
Right, you got two marks. You got a grade like a 90, and then you got an Aleph Bet Gimel for Havana, with Rabarin was rough, but it wasn't as bad as an oral bechina. I might as well tell you one story. If I told it to you, I'd tell it again. It's worth it. I have a friend who's turned, he's no youngster today. God should give him good health, his wife. They're very good people. I'll even tell you his name because he tells the story to everyone. Rabbi Solomon Shulson. So Saul carries a picture of Dr. Belkin in his wallet. He says, do you know why I have his picture? Because he was an orphan. Saul was an orphan. His father was a shaytet from Yerushalayim. They went to Philadelphia after World War I. You follow? They were starving here. And he was a shaytet in Philadelphia. And one time he's coming back from the shlachtos. They're driving 4 or 5 shaytetim in a car, bringing them back from the slaughterhouse to the center of Philadelphia where they lived. And there was a truck with building material right in front of it. It stopped short. And bricks went flying, and one brick landed directly on the car, directly on Saul's father, killed him on the spot, lo malenu. He was about 8 years old, Shlemula. So YU takes him in, and the Rabbi Belkin, who was kulo chesed, Rabbi Belkin says, Shlemula, I'll say it in English, listen to me. I know you're not the best of students. Don't say a word. You take the lead from me. When they start asking you questions, I'll tell you what to say, and then I'll take over and I'll, you know, interchange with the others. And Schlegel said he went in for a smicha bechina. He barely had time to say his name and give one half an answer, and immediately Rav Shmuel Belkin started talking, learning with the Rav, with the Lamsha Rav, and they forgot all about him, and he got smicha. So those were the smicha bechinas. But coming back there, Sam, who do we paskin like? Who do we paskin like? No? Vic, I want to tell you, on this question, you can write a doctorate. So you should know there's a sefer from the early Achronim, a Slavic sefer, very important, Yad Malachi by Harav Malachi. You should know that name by now. There's a new edition, a much better edition than my edition, which was given to me by my professor, Rabbi Yeshua Finkel. The Yad Malachi has all the klolim of Psak. So essentially I want to tell you, the Sephardic tradition is, the first viewpoint is always correct. That is Maran HaBeit Yosef's real opinion. But why does he have a Yesh Omrim? And those of you learning your Adur, you know there can be a Yesh Omrim, that the Ramah gets involved. You can have on one topic three or four Yesh Omrim. So, you know, when you're a kid, you're disturbed. The Baal Hashem, Zu Halacha, Moshe says, let me have a clear, definitive answer, right or wrong. Alex, if you're involved in outreach, it's an interesting question. Is it good to teach kids at Shulchan Aruch? Well, no, it's too authoritative. You leave the kid with a feeling there are no other viewpoints. You know, the kids are black and white. Or no, a kid has to have guidance. I don't know. I've never been able to resolve that. Rabbi Lichtenstein once discussed it at a press conference here. They shot at him the question, isn't the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch too narrow? The Shlomo Kamsri, too narrow. I daven Marav many times with a direct descendant, a great-great-great-great-grandson of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, who wrote a biography of his great-great-grandfather, Jack Friedman. He's a professor of English in America, and he came in Aliyah, and his son, who was a student in the Kollel, is a Rebbe, is one of the Ramim in Kerem Biafna. That's what we're talking about. So it's a very interesting question. So then Yitz is going to say, no, if the first viewpoint is the viewpoint, why does he give other viewpoints? So, of course, what we get involved with is, when it comes to Psak Halacha, there's what you call a preference. But there can be many other factors involved where you get involved with Shas HaDachak, let's say. I'll use that example. How does Shas HaDachak translate in Yoredeya? Very simply, a poor person and a rich person. I told you many times over the generations, whenever I would get a shayla in michlala about a frying pan, I would say, go ask Rabbi Eichmann, don't ask me. No, why did I say it? Yom, I'm not such an amaritz, I could pass him the shayla. No. Because he had a Kabbalah from Rabbi Regensburg that a frying pan you can kashu with Haggadah, you don't need a Liban Kal. And I have a Kabbalah from the Rav that you need a Liban on a frying pan, at least a Liban Kal. You follow me? Now, if you try to do a Liban Kal on a frying pan, one time Baron Aaron and I were in a base, we were assigned by the rabbinate before Pesach. They call up, I mean, when I was younger, I'm a great expert in checking rice for Pesach. Now the army doesn't shave rice, but I don't know why they don't serve it. I mean, Sfadim eat it. But I know how to check rice. I can teach you exactly how to check rice that you won't have a problem for Pesach if you're a Sfadi, okay? I have some Sfadim sitting in front of me. So not only do we check rice, then we had a kasha. The army has tremendous equipment, blow torches. So they bring us over a frying pan, and the Sephardic fellows there say to us, we make matzah with eggs, and they fry it. We have to have a frying pan for Pesach. So we took a blowtorch to it. I think Aaron held it with special gloves, and I blew it with the blowtorch, or the opposite. In 1 second, the frying pan was destroyed, fell apart. You follow? So I'm going to go tell a girl, throw out the frying pan. If she goes to Rabbi Eichmann, it depends, because Rav Regensburg held, you never fry anything al ha'esh. Even whatever you fry today, you put in a little liquid. Once you put in a little liquid, Hagalah should help. Okay? So why does the Shulchan Aruch mention other viewpoints? Well, it could be a big difference. For a poor man, you can be making Yeshami l'smoch. The Ravid says this, the Rambam says this, the Baal HaKasas holds something else. Yeshon l'smach. There's a big difference, Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif. The Baal HaBasta finished all her cooking, made the soup, and a drop of milk fell in. It's a different psak that you'll give if you can. Again, we'll be Samech L'Hakel. Guests are coming. There's no time to prepare the meat, to go, to shop, to buy, to kasha. So many times, the Shulchan Aruch leaves us with alternatives. And that's why you have the Yesh Omrims. The Kuntres HaShach that I spent a year and a half on, after Siman Reish Mem Bet, I would require that for anyone who gets smicha, besides the Simanim, you know, in the Shulchan Aruch, you have to know the Kuntres HaShach. So you'll see the Kuntres HaShach, the Shach Paskins LaHalacha, that with all the klalim in the world, the halacha is amorphous. See, I'm using a term that's the exact opposite of the kids of Shulchan Aruch. And it could be the kids, I can't give a shiur like this. It could be. You understand me, Vic? They need guidance. I had one daughter who always gave me an argument why I didn't give her strong guidance. And maybe now, with her own children growing up, she understands her father a lot better. Okay? I knew her gestalt, her viewpoints. And I let her. You choose. You do what you have to do. And Baruch Hashem, it worked out very well. But could be a kid needs a kid's a Shulchan Aruch. Yesh Omer. The Shach says, at times when it's a Shach HaDachak, even a Shita Yachid, you can be Samachan if it's halachically valid. And this is what, for instance, Hetar Agunah is all about, and Hetar Mamzerim is all about. Because we always, if you know how response literature works, whenever there's a shaila of an aguna, a classic aguna, I don't mean the aguna of today, because rotten men want money. Whenever there's a classic aguna or a shaila of a mamzer, we've had shailas here in the Kollel. I mean, Rabbi Shechter tells that every year there's shailas in America. I've had some interesting shailas right here in this Kollel, and I was always able to Baruch Hashem. Solved the problem. Thank God. There's only one problem I never was able to solve, but they told me that it's impossible to solve. That's a Talmud. I told you I have a Talmud who was declared a mamzer, never married. Until today I see him, very successful, doesn't lack for money, Talmud Chacham, never married. He didn't want to perpetuate mamzerit. All because of a Reform rabbi in Australia, who said to his mother, what do you need to get? You don't need to get. I'll marry you. And, you know, you do a thing like that. Your mom is a murderer because you never know how children will turn out. Look at study Nach, and you'll see Tzaddikim had children who were Rishayim, the kings. And kings who were Rishayim had children who were Tzaddikei Elyon. Read Mani Shalalim. I have to go further. The Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Okay. It's you have to have responsibility. But what we always try to do with Aguna and with Mamzeret is put it into a status of a din de rabbanan. Because may ikka din de oraita, a suffix mamzer's mutul abo bakal. The parak, I saw Yuchsin at the end of Kedushin. An Aguna, the Gemara at the end of Yevamot, mayim shein lach himself. Every Aguna should be muteret. It's logical, it's a rove, it's a chazaka. If he drowned in the water, he's dead. Even if we don't find the body, it's the Atlantic Ocean, it's the Mediterranean, etc. But the Rabban, we asser it. But if it's already in a status, the Rabbanon, we can be Metzarev Snifin, even if they're not Snifin that you would lachatchila be Samachan. But this is the way the halachic system works. It's not, as I said an hour and a half ago, it's not if there's a rabbinic will, there's a halachic way. It's if there's rabbinic knowledge, we attempt to find the halachic way. Underline the word attempt. We're not Reformed Jews. What happened to us? Students from this kollel. All right, they studied with me. I'm a nobody. You studied with Baron Lichtenstein. You studied with Rabban Soloveitchik. What have you done to Yiddishkeit? Now, the Sfadim complained to Rabbi Yashar, how can you be Samach on this Erev, if it's against the psak of the Shulchan Aruch? His first psak is Tet Zayin Amot. Right or wrong? 16 Amot wide, whatever that comes out in our measurements. 24 yards, 32 yards, 36. What, you have streets that are that wide, if there's a Shut HaRav and the Oraita. It's a feat, I should say. So he asked Rabbi Yashar, how are you Samach? How did the Sfadim carry? Mele, the Ashkenazim, maybe they can make a case. Again, I spent endless weeks on it a year and a half ago. Rashi, Tosfot, the Shita, the tradition, the Baha'i, the Ramah. Maybe you can make a case that the Ashkenazim need 600,000. But we don't. We're Sfadim. The first opinion. Listen to Rabbi Yeshua's response. Rabbi Yoshi responds, since the Ashkenazim and Sfadim live together in the neighborhood, the Sfadim who see the Ashkenazim relying on this Erev will never heed the strict view of Rabbi Caro. I have to tell you, this is Chochmat HaChayim, Bididi Havi Ofta. Sam, I go back to my first weeks in Israel. 1969, and I'm working for the Encyclopedia Judaica, which was a halfway house. All the Anglos were working there, and all the Israelis working there had to work in English. Everything was done in English. All the language spoken was English. We were putting out the Judaica, right or wrong? I'm a staff editor. By the way, the new edition of the Judaica, I get credit for all the articles I wrote. I was very happy. Because the original edition, half my articles are on the ED. No one, you know, I was a kid then. Only what you're a great expert, and otherwise we have to put an editor. It was not right. You have to attribute it to the author. Fine. Working with me was the daughter of one of the three people on my committee for my doctorate, Professor Abe Duka, Zichrono Levracha's daughter, Rivka, Dr. Rivka daughter. Rivka Duka should live me well. She's Rivka Fishman today. I believe she's a grandmother today. Rivka's working with me. Vic, I'm telling you as it was. She comes over to me, she says, Rabbi Rothkopf, you know, her father told her that she can ask me questions. And he put it, you know, said, I'm okay, I'm thought highly of me, whatever. So she says, my aunt is here for Sukkot. And my aunt asked me to ask you, to ask a rabbi, and I want to ask you, what should she do for Yom Tov Sheni? So I told her, oh, she's here for Sukkot. You know, I said, look, she really has to observe only one day, but since she's going back, Rabbi Soloveitchik would hold she shouldn't do malacha the second day. And I explained exactly she should daven like an Israeli, make Kiddush Havdalah like an Israeli, or hear Kiddush Havdalah, but she shouldn't do malacha the second day. After Sukkot, I asked Rivka, what happened? How did it go with your aunt? She says, oh, I'm ashamed to tell you. She came out and she was, I still remember the hotel. It doesn't exist today. The Tirat Bat Sheva. Any of you know where it is? Rehov Melech George. It's being worked on. They're redoing it. It's gone through many different purposes in life. Originally, it was a hotel built by a Frum Jew right after the Six-Day War. And she comes out of, the hotel, and she sees Hasidim with Bekishes. This is first day Cholom in Israel, getting into the bus. She said, what is that, that Rothkopf crazy? Told me not to do malacha. These guys with long beards and payas and black clothes and strimals, and they're getting into a bus? I certainly can. And that was the end of my 1.5 day psak. Sam, I see you laughing, but you see, there's Chachmat HaChayim here. You understand, the average person, I gave an answer for a Lamdin, for a Talmud Chacham, you know, a Talmud of the Rav, the Chab Geret Medarav, I understand, but a person, yeah, everyone else, Chassidim, Anshei Maisa, getting onto the bus, I'm from Kalamai, I certainly can get on. So you see, that's what Rev Al-Yashav answers, Rev Al-Yashav, that it's not going to help. Therefore, he writes, it is our responsibility to rely on the alternative definition of a Reshut HaRabim and to rule that since this neighborhood does not have 600 people, it is 600,000 people, it is not a Reshut HaRabim, and an Eirav can be created. Now, Rabbi Yasha was troubled, you understand? He's going against his own tradition. He's going against Sephardic tradition. However, he explains that at least those Sephardim who carry on the Sabbath will be in the category of unintentional rather than intentional violators of the Sabbath. In other words, it sounds like the Lubavitcher Rebbe, it sounds like Rabbi Schwab, it sounds like what we spoke about an hour and a half ago, build the Erev, don't tell anyone, but at least if they're carrying, b'diyeved, it's b'shogeg, it's not b'mezid. So he's saying, yes, you're right, I wish we could have the Sephardic culture rule here, but the Ashkenazim follow the second viewpoint. The Ashkenazim have a tradition of an Erev. Rabbi Schlesinger is the Talmud of the Chatam Sofer. And as I said to you more than once, anyone who's a Ungarisha, like Adam Friedman, and you're going to come along and oppose an Erev, you are in trouble. I can oppose an Erev. A Briska can oppose an Erev. But not an Ungarisha Talmud Chacham, a Talmud of the Chatam Sofer. Follow? So this is fascinating. Now, we'll go further next time we meet. But you see already, Alex, what you gain out of his doctorate. He gives you an overlook of all the halachic sources, then he's treating it historically. Now, you'll say, do we need this? Well, it's like any other knowledge. What we need is Shas and Paiskim. No one's going to try to convince Rakefet that you should teach Chokhmat Yisrael to the Torah Shraga boys. You understand? But if there's a Torah Shraga kid who knows how to learn and he's seeking and searching, so tell him.
This is also something that's been very carefully designed to be supplementary. A lot of times when you're studying...
Chokhmat
Yisrael, I mean...
You're not going to...
a whole philosophical basis...
This is Chokhmat, but part of Chokhmat Yisrael is in the hands of Tzaddikim. You understand, Reb Chaim Heller. Yeah, that ilk, that Rabbi Akiva Chil Weinberg, understand? The Rav never bought into Chachmat Yisrael. But when I asked him, Rebbe, your uncle, Reb Menachem Karakovsky, quotes you in the Avodat HaMelech four times, he's searching in the library, his face lit up six times. My Talmud, Rabbi Dr. Yosef Tziklausner, what name does he go by? Yudidja today. He found eight times. I cited in a footnote. In the Rav. Oh, you see, it can complement, it can supplement. Gentlemen, let me first of all review. What did we do today? All right, fascinating material. When all is said and done, Rabbi Schwab, Chakira, Erev, the philosophical overtone. Fascinating article coming out of Flatbush with all the machloket. In Flatbush. God have mercy. Their families, I'm told, they won't intermarry. They won't make a shidduch because this family carries and this family doesn't carry. Unzi Yidden, I don't know. Why can't we be broad? Why can't we say, why can't we emulate a dummy like Rakefet who has very strong opinions, but he will always say, there are other opinions out there. Baruch Hashem, the first Mishnah in Bracha, taught me that. And it's very important. Anyone who's learned Shas, Paiskim, how can you not understand their other opinions? How can you think you know it all? Okay, but that's Das Torah, and that's why we lost 150,000 votes. Do you know if what the leftists are going through? They're looking at the 150,000 votes that were lost. Imagine had they been real. They're looking at the return from the army. That the Likud defeated Mapai, the Herzog, whatever he calls himself, Tzionim. They're not Tzionim, forget it. Likud defeated them in the army vote. Not only that, the worst part is the Bayit Yehudi, Bennett, had three times the percentage in the army that he had in civilian life, civilian vote. So, all right, you got to understand what's going on. We'll see if Netanyahu appreciates our sacrifice. We don't want Bitachon. We want Saha Chutz. Bennett would be fabulous. His English is American English. He wears a kippah. Would be fabulous. Gentlemen. Shara Shikun is good too, but we do. Say them. Let's hope for the best. Then we left Flatbush, we went into, we have a minion, okay, we went into Chakira, and we went into Adam Mintz's doctorate, and he introduced it by paying homage to the memory of Professor Yitzchak Tversky, Tolna Rebbe. What do you say? It's decent that we did it, absolutely, absolutely. We should pay homage and try to understand, because I really believe with all my heart, you wouldn't have a doctorate like Adam Mintz's doctorate if you didn't have the breathtaking, pacemaking work that begins with this volume.
Is there anybody who has an understanding of what did the Rav think of the book?
Well, he thanks the Rav. The Rav went through the sugyas, the Rav read it, he thanks the Rav. I'm positive, the Rav had a positive attitude. But all right, what happened afterwards, we don't have to talk about. There's a lot of machloket, not all scholarly, I believe, but forget it now. Now, tomorrow's shiur, wouldn't miss anything. Come with the big day chatuna, because we have to deal with the Rebbe, and he's getting married, and how it came about, and the shidduch, and I have to refute some of the volumes that are published, but we'll leave that for tomorrow. Tomorrow, if Herbie will be here, I'll say a vot in honor of Herbie with the Seder. But let me give out the freebies. If anyone wants, this is just for your and to have a memoir of what went on here. This is from Agudat Yisrael, and this was given out by the hundreds of thousands. Why you have to vote Agudat Yisrael. They're historic pictures, they're documents, very fascinating. This is an article from the New York Times on Jeb Bush, the governor of Florida, 20 years after conversion, is guided by his Catholic faith. Very interesting article, as only the New York Times can do, but he's not entirely a good Catholic, as you will see. This is an article from the New York Times that I found very interesting, because I'm going to deal with this within the halakhic context next year. Catholics, plastic surgery, and the truth of the feminine self. If you're a lady, and you have, I'll use a clean example, a more dignified example, you don't like your nose, can you go and have your nose operated on so that you should look a lot better? Finally, from the Jewish Week, why you faculty votes no confidence in President Joe. Everything we spoke about, its problems are still not solved, Montefiore is still not, the deal is still not complete, but the Rebbe Shlomo should help, we should only have good news, and I gave a bracha this morning to the ladies working in the Abraham program. I said, you girls have to get as many students as possible. The more you get, the easier I breathe. So they looked at me. I said, the future of the Kollel intertwines with YU. The more students, the more money that comes in, the more secure the Kollel is. Adam, who recommends to Durma, get them out.
Yes, we're done, yeah.
All right. Till we meet again tomorrow morning at 9:05 in health and happiness.
Amen.
Das Vidanya.
I want you to give me Rabbi Kulis.